What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are completing our series on crunchiness. Oh, yeah. Well, I think you guys, you're in part to blame for starting this topic. Remember, I had a listener write in, and I shared her thoughts, but basically it was living in Colorado, multiple concerns because this crunchy, natural, really extreme crunchiness is what we've started to categorize it as. It has become not only a personal preference, but even like an evangelistic thing within a church. So I had felt it. I guess that's the best way to say it. I have seen it. I don't know anybody personally that I would say is extremely crunchy. No one's like evangelizing and pushing it on us. But I've seen it in terms of a hyper awareness of your health, a deep concern for. So when I received that email, it was like, oh yeah, like there is something to that. And as soon as I posted it on social media, really my Instagram account lit up with comments, feedback. And that's how these episodes have been born, is working through a biblical understanding of crunchiness. This is Biblical Counseling Stories, part two, crunchiness. But what is crunchiness? Well, as you may recall, we are saying that it's a focus on healthy living that includes food, avoiding certain chemicals, using drinks and home choices to promote perceived health. I had a former student write in, even emailing while I was getting ready for today's episode, and she said this might be another way to help define it, and we kind of worked through this definition together. She said it's a focus on healthy living that aims to holistically abstain from perceived man-made threats to health, including toxins, internally ingested and externally exposed, all while attempting to use remedies that are unprocessed and mimic nature or ancestral living as much as possible. That's really what it is. Crunchiness is really like an extreme form of getting back to natural remedies, less processed, getting back to the way that farming was intended to be and eating was intended to be. Like, that's kind of the mentality. But then it starts to go into products that you use. Do you use aluminum foil or detergents or plastics? Do you touch receipts? Like, that is all part of crunchiness. And remember, I've said it's probably best to use an extreme crunchy category. So last episode, I painted it for you. I gave you a couple of testimonials from listeners. This episode, I want to help tease out the epistemology of those who have an extreme crunchy tendency. And in the last segment, I will cover stewardship or perceived stewardship. So let's kind of start with epistemology. Here is the general experience of someone who is crunchy or super crunchy. They had a poor experience with a medical establishment. Then they started to conduct independent research. So that poor experience is misdiagnosed, doctor rushed and didn't diagnose, they feel unhelped, they have these physical maladies that continue to be problematic, and there's no help from the established medicine or American Western lifestyle. So then they start to do independent research, do the online Googling, find an influencer, a school of thought that is potentially through social media or a homeopathic doctor or someone that really fits within that bill. And then the last is the extremely crunchy person, not the average crunchy, but the extremely crunchy person starts to live by that new code of conduct. And I have said there is a low discernment level, but I'll give you more observations here in a second. As you're getting to know crunchiness, and some of you are in that craze, I've called it, it is a bit cultish for some in terms of their dedication and religiosity and commitment to it. You really need to define your terms carefully. That's why I've tried to start these episodes with a definition of crunchiness. But what does gluten-free mean? What does dairy-free mean? What does soy-free mean? What is the difference between a supplement and medicine? What's the difference between organic and natural labels? Honestly, I didn't know the answer to those before starting this series. So there are important terms that you have to learn and factually determine those before jumping into health remedies. But I'm not a medical doctor, and you guys know on Transformed, I rarely, if ever, will make medical advice. I'll say things like avoid caffeine or be careful with your sleep, but I am not talking about nutrients and foods and things like that. That's not my training. That's not my expertise. And I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to give you bad medical advice. But you have to know that when it comes to medicine, there is actually a way of determining if that's good medical or sound medical advice, or if that is bad or unsound medical advice. And that comes through testings. So in the Substack that I wrote, I referenced this, which is basically there are observational studies that are part of primary studies that then move into secondary or pre-appraised filtered studies that then culminate all the way up into when something becomes a clinical practice guideline. Like, how do we know what reduces heart disease? Or how do we know that insulin is to be taken for diabetes? That is your clinical practice guidelines. And that doesn't just happen. And for a person to just assert something online without it being tested, verified, or proven, you have to be really discerning about that. So the errors in epistemology to start is that for some, extreme crunchiness is what I have called Gnosticism. And many of the posts on Instagram were saying, hey, Dr. Gifford, this is like a higher knowledge that has come through independent research. There is a danger to foods and toxins. They've read about this. They've researched this. And then now that is like a secret knowledge that they have attained to. This is the extremely crunchy person, not just a crunchy person, but extremely crunchy. Based off of that, what begins to happen is you are judged intentionally or unintentionally. You are judged because you are not adhering to these perceived health practices. So Gnosticism leads to judgmentalism. I can't believe you let your kids eat that. I can't believe you drink that. Are you aware of how that vaccine affects you? And all of a sudden, your small group, most likely a ladies' small group, it morphs from Titus to sanctification to how do we practice grounding principles and how do we have less processed food? And you're like, wait a minute. What's really happening here? We're having a shift of what is the point of our small group in the first place. And some are even more evangelistic about crunchiness than they are about the gospel itself. So at first, you have to just start and say, all right, you should be discerning and you should research. That is, I think that's, everyone agrees on that. No one's saying you shouldn't be discerning. But at a certain point, you have to recognize the limits of the information available to you. You also never want to take the information that you've learned and then let it turn into judgmentalism, because that is, I mean, that's literally the opposite of Romans 14, where you are welcoming one another to debate the topic instead of respect their conviction. So let me give you a couple of answers to the epistemology. And these are principles that I'm hoping will help frame those that are finding themselves either in a crunchy atmosphere, or perhaps they are leaning toward a crunchiness themselves. They're sensing things are going too far. Okay, so number one, God's word is absolute truth, and we are going to follow God's word as the final source of truth. Number two, God is unlimited in knowledge, and I am limited in knowledge, Psalm 139, verse 6. I cannot know everything, and I cannot know every medical research practice. Number three, there is a difference between medically verified guidelines for practice and possibilities given by online influencers. So a guideline has actually gone through medical studies where an online influencer is saying, hey, this is good for you, but there is no medical support. There is no verifiable way. Even if you don't like the term medical, there is no way to say, yes, that has been tested and that is sound advice. That's what I mean by number three. So number one, God's word is the absolute truth. Number two, God is unlimited in knowledge, and I am limited in knowledge. Number three, there's a difference between medically verified guidelines for practice and possibilities given by online influencers. Number four, be discerning and not fearful. Seek to read and make an informed choice with your health, with the drinks, the containers, the detergents, but you're never to be led by fear. You're called to fear God in Matthew 10:28, and the children of Israel are told to be courageous as they're entering into the promised land. In fact, courage is an attribute that God has called us to exhibit, especially as men. You're to act like a man, 1 Corinthians 16:13, which means what? Be courageous. Never are you called to be led by fear. And that is important to clarify. Never are you called to eat by fear. So how do I land the plane on this? I cannot research myself into a black hole of non-medically verified possibilities. Rather, I must live by the knowledge God has provided to me. And if the FDA said it was okay while I was eating in faith, Romans 14:23, then I trust that I am not being a bad steward. God's sovereignty will come into play, and I'll speak of that here in our second segment. So let's finish our first segment. Crunchiness has to be met with a right epistemology, and these principles are intended to inform that. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I will pick up with a healthy person or a good steward. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he wraps up his mini series on crunchiness. And if you're one of the people that people you know pull aside after your small group, then you already know the difference between caring and being prepared. And that's why I want you to know more about where Dr. Gifford himself teaches, because you very well could be on the path to becoming a biblical counselor and not even realize it. Masters University is the place to go if you're looking to do that. Their biblical counseling program is built like an apprenticeship. You learn to open the Bible with people, you learn to ask better questions, and then sort what's actually known from what's guessed, so you remain steady when the real conversations start to come. That's what sets the Masters University apart. That's what sets their biblical counseling program apart. If you're looking at maybe becoming a biblical counselor, or maybe you have a high school senior right now looking at what they're going to do in the future, I would recommend the Masters University. You can get details right now at masters.edu/transformed. And because not every moment needs like a syllabus or anything, you can keep good input close at hand. And I'm talking about Fortis Plus. All of our content lives right there in easy reach. Whether you download the app on your phone or on your smart TV, you've got it right there. Everything we produce is housed in Fortis Plus. You just search for a topic, you save an episode, you can pick it up later, send it to a friend who asked one of the same questions that you've asked before or that you've heard an episode about. There's hundreds of hours of content freely available right now, and we're adding more to it every day. We don't ask you for a credit card. We don't ask you for any type of information like that. It's free. You just open it up and start using it. Look for Fortis Plus right now in your app store, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that it's free is we're not controlled by big advertisers or anything like that. We don't sell ads around here. We have a quiet group of people we call gospel partners. Actually, they're like family. They've linked arms with us because our content that we've been producing for over 25 years at some point has helped them. And if that's you, if you've been helped by the content that we've been producing and you're giving to your local church faithfully, then we want you to start praying about what it would look like to join us as a gospel partner. Help us carry this load and get this content out to more people in more places all over the world. You can get more information right now about what it would look like at FortisInstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford now. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about crunchiness, and in the first segment, I covered the idea of epistemology. How do we think through researching our way into greater clarity without it becoming Gnostic? And how do we avoid judgmentalism? So hopefully the principles from the first segment will at least give you a right framework for truth. Next, I want to talk about what does good stewardship mean and how does this apply to those who are a bit more crunchy or the extremely crunchy among us? First of all, the healthy person and the crunchy person are not exactly the same thing. When an extremely crunchy person says stewardship is why they are so crunchy, you have to be able to clarify that stewardship does not inherently mean that you are making the healthiest choice. Stewardship means that you are managing resources entrusted to you and trusting God with the results of that. Some are moving to a hyper or an extreme crunchiness based on their perceived definition of stewardship, but the reality is that that definition of stewardship warrants a little bit of clarification. So if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. As you're turning there, I want to point out to you that Paul calls himself a steward of the mysteries of God, and in so doing, he describes what a steward does. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. A steward is entrusted with a certain amount of talents, resources to manage, and then they are to take those resources and to actually be faithful. But that understands, or that is, it's understood to mean that you have resources, not that you're seeking to gain them to steward them. So you steward what you already have, not what you don't have. For many of us, when it comes to the extreme crunchiness, we don't live on a farm. You don't have natural berries in my backyard. I don't have goats. I don't have chickens. I don't have cows that I could have butchered and then eat those or eat them as close to fresh as possible. That's not a reality. Like, we don't have that. What do we have? Chipotle. We have In-N-Out. At least we have that in California. You get your local burger place. You know, you have your Pizza Hut and Papa John's. You have a grocery store, a Vons, a Kroger's, a Ralph's. You have a Trader Joe's. You know, like, you're making decisions based off of the resources that you have. But notice, even then, stewardship is bigger than just what I eat, the detergents that I use, the toxins that I'm seemingly letting in my house. I also have to be a steward of my time. I don't have the time, and many of you do not have the time, to cook every meal. I can't have a home-cooked meal for every meal. Many of us don't have the money to shop for all organic products, organic fruit and veggies. We don't have the money to pay for free-range meat or to order that when we're eating out. So money is a part of the stewardship that we have. And then, of course, within the resources God's given to you, food is a part of that. But remember, food is not the final step of stewardship. It's only part of it. And this is an interesting concept, but it's true in regard to stewardship. Let's say that in your home, it's time to eat dinner, and all you have available are those little frozen meals, if you remember them. There's like a Hungry Man dinner. That takes me back to college. You know, my flashbacks of frozen mashed potatoes that I'm heating up. But seriously, consider a frozen meal. For many of us, we're like, oh no, don't make me think. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, frozen meal. That's all you have. You don't have money to go eat at an extremely healthy place, so it seems like better stewardship to eat the frozen meal that's already in your home. Can you do that as a good steward? Yes. Totally you can. It is possible for you to eat the frozen meal as part of good stewardship, and you didn't have a salad, you didn't have organic bananas, you didn't have any of that, you didn't have free-range cows, because stewardship and the healthiest choice are not the same thing. Now, the fair question for those that are extremely crunchy, which I think is a right observation, is that you would want to make the healthiest choice you can with the resources that you have. But if you don't have a healthy resource, you can still be a good steward. It really does get back to that principle of stewardship looks like everything in moderation. Not too many burgers, not too many salads. On the days whenever I had no choice but to drink water that was unfiltered, like, I'm going to trust the Lord. And if I only had a Coca-Cola and I was hot and there was nothing else to drink, or I'm in a third world country where drinking the water is going to be dangerous, yeah, I can drink a Coca-Cola and be a good steward. So this is the goal, good stewardship. And within that, we want to make healthy choices, but not every choice is necessarily going to be the healthiest of choices. So take your Bible and turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 6. As the crunchy story unfolds, I said chapter 6. Actually, I want you to go to chapter 16. You for those of you that are familiar with the Bible, chapter 16 is a lot about decision-making and understanding the way that God guides us. The lot is discussed here. Look at verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. God knows what you're going to say. Verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but Yahweh directs his steps. You plan what you want to do, but the Lord establishes you or directs you. Psalm 127, if you stay awake, you stay awake in vain. The Lord is the one that keeps a city. The reality is that you trust the Lord with the fruit of your efforts, but you can't determine them. A principle that I want to give you is that you're called to be a good steward, but then in terms of crunchiness or extreme crunchiness, you have to learn to entrust the results to God. There are times when you've actually eaten perfectly. From a human perspective, you've done everything medically right, healthy, natural, no toxins, and yet you still get sick. Or unfortunately, you get more than sick. You get cancer. Or more than cancer, it's not only cancer, but it's cancer that now forces you to go through chemo or radiation. Well, technically, it wasn't your direct responsibility for why you got sick. You had been a faithful steward. What verse 9 is intending to show is that we plan and we are trying to be faithful, but God establishes us. The reason why we are safe is because of God. The reason why we have health is because of God. So it does mean that if I'm being a good steward of frozen meals, God can use those frozen meals to give me sustenance and to keep me healthy. It also means, as odd as this may seem, that just because I'm eating super crunchy doesn't mean that I'm going to be healthy, and it doesn't mean that I'll be free of all cancers and disease and so forth. Can you correlate heart disease to bad diets? Totally, totally. But remember, God is the one that gives you health. God is the one that establishes that. So you're stewarding the resources that you have, doing that in moderation, and you're saying, God, I know that you use these to make me well and keep me alive, but I know that I don't cause myself to be alive. God is the one that gives life, and God is the one that takes it. Psalm 139, 16, God knows our days from the day that we were born. God knows our days from the day that we were born. No matter how healthy you eat, you are not making those days longer. Oh, no. That's where fear-based crunchiness comes in, because we think if I don't eat a certain way, I'm going to hurt myself or I'm going to hurt my kids. And for some of you, there are reactions in your body, and it's not fear. You're not motivated by fear. You're motivated by not wanting to have a severe migraine or not wanting to be exhausted. Totally fair. Like, I don't know who would want to have a migraine. Who would eat a food knowing that that was going to give them a migraine and do it anyways? Like, hopefully no one would do that. So what are these balances? The balance is that biblically, when we think biblically about crunchiness, eating healthy is not a problem. In fact, I think there could be an argument made, and go back to my Ozempic series when we were talking about obesity. I think there could be an argument made that we should be a little more health conscious, and certain pockets of the world are pretty health conscious and then others are not health conscious at all. As a Christian, it's not a bad idea to be a steward of your body, but that can become a worship of your body if you're not careful. And it can become a self-absorption. So put these guardrails up and say, I want to be a good steward, which means making healthy choices, but it also means I can't make the healthiest of choices in every scenario. When I'm traveling, guys, this is when I usually eat the unhealthiest. When I'm traveling is when I got to do fast food or whatever's in the airport. What's the gas station got? You know, like, what am I going to get great at a gas station? Maybe a protein shake and a water? So when I'm traveling, I can't always be the healthiest that I would like to be, and I have to be okay with that. And if you're listening to this and you're struggling with extreme crunchiness, you have to be okay with that either. God hasn't called you to make the healthiest of choices. God's called you to be a good steward. Be a good steward, and then trust God with the results of that. He sustains you. He gives you strength to serve him. He is equipping your heart and body to pulsate right now with the energy that it needs so you can glorify him. And that is the point. Our goal is not to be healthier per se. Our goal is to glorify God, and any physical wellness we have is a means of doing that. As I close this series, first of all, thank you. Thank you for those that have interacted. This biblical counseling series is very timely. So if you're thinking of a group of ladies that would benefit, then please feel free to share, subscribe, send this their way, but don't make me a hammer. I've said that in different episodes. Hey, you need to listen to this by Dr. Gifford. Please don't make me a sledgehammer of truth. So I am open to your emails at greg@transform.org if you have critique or clarification. But other than that, let me pray for us and we will be done. Lord, thank you for food that you give us. Thank you that many of us can make healthy choices and we can eat cleanly and feel well, generally speaking. I pray that we would steward those so we can glorify you well, and that every listener hearing this, that they would be committed to being a good steward, not to be myopic, but that they could serve you well and do a lot of good in this world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.